the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Tomorrow evening, we will concentrate on the Spain-Argentina World Cup final, but let's talk now about England's exit last night. The semi-final defeat to Argentina. Miguel Delaney, chief football writer of The Independent, was there. And Miguel, everyone is focusing, with a lot of justification, on the manager, Thomas Tuchel, and his tactics, how England surrendered possession after going a goal in front, how Argentina had 88% of the ball from the moment England scored. I heard Harry Kane last night admitting that they dropped too deep and defended too deep, and got me thinking, well, Harry Kane, I saw him on plenty of occasions back in his own penalty area clearing the ball. Instead of blaming the manager, why didn't the players take responsibility, especially Harry Kane, for moving up the pitch instead of dropping so deep? Is it all down to Tuchel?
But I think that is down to Tuchel, principally for the fact that, to be fair, they did start it once they'd scored. They started dropping back. And there's been a bit of a debate in England today about whether this is some sort of national inclination, something I don't really agree. But obviously some of their big examples have been where they've withdrawn, you know, the Euro 2020 final. But like, I mean, like the 98 knockout wasn't like that. Like, this isn't some cultural issue in the same way. But also, even if it was, Tuchel has specifically been appointed to address situations like this. Like, it's basically this moment, a crunch semi-final that he's been hired for, a massive expense. And he had the opportunity to arrest that three times. First of all, in the hydration break, where he didn't. He actually doubled down. You could see him basically talking to the group, giving them new tactical instructions. And we think we can only presume that was to basically go deeper. Then with the subs, where he goes five at the back. And the most amazing thing about that was that it wasn't just kind of allowing Messi. The one issue with Messi at this point in his career is that he can't cover the same space that he used to as consistently. And it basically just gave him, like, it afforded him the platform to just stand in the corner where he most likes and pick passes. But also, that Argentina team, one of their flaws is vulnerability to pace when the game is stretched. England had no outlet. So they basically neutered all their own advantages. And not even that. They also, they offset how, like, if they did happen to concede, which of course is possible when the ball is bounced around your box, that Argentina had so many chances and there's even the possibility of a penalty. They didn't have the players on the pitch to adapt. So, I mean, from a coach like Tuchel on that expense, it's one of the biggest tactical meltdowns I've ever seen, especially at a game of that scale. It was incredible.
Well, would it suggest he didn't trust his players?
I actually think he might have got a bit too persuaded by his own genius from the Mexico game, because he did this against Mexico and it did work, to be fair.
Yeah, but Mexico were rubbish. I mean, I know this was massively hyped up in England about one of the greatest victories of all time because it was at altitude, because it was against a home team, but it wasn't against a good team.
But that's exactly it. But I think he because that came off, he was convinced by his own brilliance, no, it's going to work again. He's got Dan Byrne there. He seemed to have an obsession with Dan Byrne by the end of the competition. And so we went with it again. That would be my reading for it. I'm not sure. There might be a bit of an issue with trust of players. And typically, there have been kind of a few growing murmurs about, you know, tension within the squad. The whole Bellingham episode didn't necessarily help.
But Miguel, why didn't the players take ownership on the pitch? We saw, for example, how Messi dictated what Argentina were doing on the pitch. What about the big name players, the Canes and the Bellinghams and the others? Why didn't they take matters into their own hands on the pitch, or even during the hydration break, and say, no, boss, this is not the way to do it. We need to be further up the pitch. We need to be controlling the ball in the way that Spain controlled the ball against France the night before.
Well, I mean, ultimately, they don't even have anything close to a number six like Spain do. And even the players close to that, he didn't either pick them or not trust them. But also, I mean, it's a bit like, just within the framework of the team, even if players wanted to do that, it's hard to do it if your manager has you specifically in a five at the back, brings on the subs to further condition that.
The five at the back can push up. They can push up, and the midfielders in front of them can push up. They just kept dropping deeper and deeper. And you sort of wonder, I mean, was that down to the players? And, you know, was it that they that they weren't taking on individual responsibility? They were just trying to hide in the collective.
But I mean, like individual responsibility in a situation like that, I mean, even if some player does try and do it, ultimately you're in a framework where the instructions are, like, especially under a siege like that, where you know what Argentina are like, it is about some sort of collective shape. If someone goes off on their own, you're probably even more at risk. That's the danger. And the players, like, especially in the modern game, are more tactically responsible in that way. They all have set roles. And look, yeah, there may be an element of individual responsibility, but like ultimately, like, Tuchel is specifically appointed for this situation.
But Miguel, the other thing is, you were at the game last night. We got the impression watching it on television that it was just a remarkable atmosphere. Could it be that the English players were somewhat cowed by the extraordinary Argentinian crowd that outnumbered them?
See, I don't think they actually were, because initially it worked quite well. In the first half, England got drawn into a battle, which I don't think they would have wanted to, but they responded well to that. And even the goal was a consequence of, like, really good discipline. So, like, they clearly responded to circumstances. They had Argentina exactly where they wanted them, even amid the atmosphere, even amid the kind of tactical shape of the game, even amid the issues. And they let that go completely needlessly.
One last thing. You're an expert in all these rules. We know FIFA doesn't allow politics on the pitch. The Irish team got once fined for having a symbol from the 1916 Rising commemoration. The British have been stopped their teams wearing poppies. But what do you make of all the fuss? 10 Downing Street complaining that FIFA should investigate the unveiling of a Malvinas banner on the pitch after the game. Ed Davey of the Lib Democrats wanting 6 players banned from the final for daring to show this flag.
So, look, by the letter of the law, there is a strong argument there. And I think Spain could well have a case here if they wanted to be mischievous, given that 2 of their players, Rodrigo and I can't remember who the other one was, faced bans after comments about Gibraltar when they won Euro 2024. But given the way this tournament has gone, my inkling on this is that to fulfil the letter of the law, FIFA might issue some sort of economic fine, but there's absolutely no chance, I'd say, that these players are going to be banned for the final.
Thank you.
And also, I suppose there's an argument that holding up a flag is different to an oral chant.
Thank you very much for that, Miguel Delaney, chief football writer of The Independent.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.